We begin the current daf and sechs in the Darm daf lamed alf. We begin on the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, so the previous daf, which spoke about when the person says specific terms, the Mishnah now discusses exactly what is understood from the person's words, who and what it is that he's coming to make the neder on. As the Mishnah explains, Hanayde Mishayv Seh Shabbos. If someone says, I'm taking a neder to forbid any pleasure from those that keep the Shabbos, that they rest on Shabbos, so Asa B'Yisrael V'Asa B'Kutim. So then the person now becomes forbidden to having pleasure from a Jew and from the Kutim, which were the Kutim, or a certain sect brought by the Assyrian king at the time when the 10 tribes were taken into exile and they filled the parts of Eretz Yisrael, and then they converted because of the fears of what happened because they were being killed by lions. But be that as it may, is that they're also gerim, they were converts. So just like Jews, they're commanded to keep Shabbos, and they keep Shabbos, and therefore they're called Shreifsei Shabbos. They're the ones that rest on Shabbos. So if you're taking the vow from those who are Shreifis on Shabbos, it includes Yisrael and Kutim. Similarly, if Mo'ichle Shum, if let's say he takes a vow forbidding himself to have pleasure from those who eat garlic, what that's a reference to is that there was a takana, injunction by Ezra, HaSefer, that men should eat garlic on Friday nights. And the reason being is because garlic increases the semen, and the conjugal obligations of Talmudic scholars is on Friday night, and therefore there was this understanding that they ate garlic. So, Asr B'Yisrael, V'Asr B'Kutim, similarly here also, he'll be forbidden to have pleasure from Jewish men and from the Kutim because they also eat garlic on Friday nights. Now, however, Mo'ili Yerushalayim, if let's say his neder was forbidding pleasure from those who go up to Yerushalayim, then Asa B'Yisrael, then he's forbidden in the Yisrael because they're commanded to go up to Yerushalayim, and they do go up. However, Mutar B'Kutim, in this case, is going to be permitted in Kutim because although they're commanded because they're like Gerim, but they don't fulfill that part of the Torah, and therefore they're not from those that are Oili Yerushalayim. Now, that the Gemara asks, my Shreif Seh Shabbos, the Gemara wants to understand, as we had alluded to the interpretation in the Mishnah, but what does it mean, those who rest on Shabbos, that we're saying is included in this person's word when he's saying the neder? Ilem and Mekayim Shabbos, if it means those that keep Shabbos. So Ma'iri B'Kutim. Why does it say not only Yisrael, but also Kutim? Afilev D'Kachavim Nami. Even non-Jews too. The Mishnah should have said those who are Mekayim Shabbos, that keep Shabbos, so that you can include even non-Jews that are Shabbos and Shabbos. Why is it saying only Yisrael and Kutim, but even non-Jews, if they keep Shabbos, they're also. So, Ella, what are you going to say? No, Mimitzuv Mala Shabbos. What does it mean that when he's making the neder from those that are Shreifsei Shabbos, it means those that are commanded on Shabbos, which is only by a Jew and a Kuti, who is on some level a Ger too, but not from non-Jews who are not commanded to keep Shabbos. But then the question is, so Ihachi Emeseifa, if that's the criterion about those that are commanded in this element, but then look at the third case of the Mishnah. Says Me'oli Yerushalayim, if it makes a neder forbidding himself from having anah from those that go up to Yerushalayim, so he said Asa B'Yisrael Umutu B'Kutim. Then he's forbidden in Jews, but not from Kutim. And the question is, am I? But why? V'Mitzuvim Ninu. But Kutim are also commanded to go up to Yerushalayim. Now, although they don't, but they're commanded, and you're saying the criterion is commanded. And if it's not commanded, it's by keeping. Then regarding Shreif Seh Shabbos should include non-Jews too. So that Amabaya, he says, no, mitzvah v'oisa katani. What we're learning in the Mishnah, in other words, when the person says a neder, he means from those that are commanded and that they fulfill it. So therefore, bitarti b'bekamayis, regarding the first two cases of the Mishnah, regards to when the neder is prohibiting from those that are Shabbos and Shabbos and those that eat garlic. So Yisrael v'kutim mitzvah v'oisin. Regarding those two halachas, those two categories, the Jews and Kutim, they both are commanded and they fulfill that mitzvah, so therefore they're included. Whereas Ibdi Kechavim, regarding non-Jews, even those that Huda Avdi, even those that keep Shabbos, but Oisim Ve'inim Mitzuvim, they'll be doing Shabbos, but they're not commanded in Shabbos, so they're not included. Now, however, regarding Bo'eli Yerushalayim, the third case of the Mishnah, but going up to Yerushalayim, Yisrael Mitzuvim Ve'oisim, Jewish men are commanded and they do, Kutim Mitzuvim Ve'inim Oisim, but Kutim, they're commanded, but that mitzvah they don't fulfill, and since they don't fulfill it, doesn't fit into the second variable of Eisen, and that's why it's only going to be us in Yisrael and not in Kut. And similarly, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. If let's say someone says, Kainim, it's prohibited on me as a carbon, She'eni nen l'bnei noyach, that I'm not going to have pleasure from a ben noyach, which is a reference to noyach who was saved in the teva, only him and his children. So then muta b'Yisrael. Actually, he's going to be permitted to have pleasure from a Jewish person, because although the Jewish people are also bnei noyach, because the whole world is from noyach, because everyone was liquidated in the Mabul besides noyach and his sons. However, as the Gemara is going to explain, since Avram Avinu became sanctified, we're called by his name, and we're not called by the name of his grandfather, meaning going further back, 10 generations to Noach, we're not called B'nai Noach. And therefore, he's going to be permitted in the Yisrael, but for us, but he's going to be forbidden in the non-Jew, because the non-Jews are called B'nai Noach. Which the Gemara illustrates this. The Gemara asks, B'Yisrael mi nafik mechla B'nai Noach, is a Jewish person excluded from the sons of Noach? Everyone's the sons of Noach. And the Gemara says, Kivin the Ikdash Avram, since Avram Avinu was sanctified, starting a whole new direction in the world, Yizkor al Shemei, the Jewish people are called on his name, which B'nai Yisrael, as the Gemara will explain actually in the coming Mishnah, we're not called B'nai Avram, we're called B'nai Yisrael, which is a reference to Yaakov, because Yaakov is the definition of what we mean when Avram Avinu is creating this whole new line. It's not Yishmael, it's not Esav, it's Yaakov, which is called Yisrael. So we're called B'nai Yisrael, but we're called after Avram, not after Noach. Now the next Mishnah continues on this theme. And if someone says, She'eni nena lezera Avram, says, I'm not going to have any pleasure from the children of Avram, so then asri b'Yisrael, what does he mean by the children of Avram? He means the Jewish people, and therefore such a person is forbidden. But he's permitted to have pleasure from non-Jews, which as the Gemara will illustrate, even from the sons of Yishmael and the sons of Esav, they're not called, quote, zera Avram, as the Gemara is going to explain, which the Gemara asks, but v'iku Yishmael, what do you mean? How are you allowed to have from all non-Jews? The Yishmaelites are also children of Avram. So now the Gemara answers, no, because the Pasuk in Bereishis says that Avram Avinu was told, ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'cha zarek sev. It says in the Pasuk that your children are going to be called after Yitzchak, not Yishmael. But the Gemara asks, but v'ikar Esav, but okay, if it's called after Yitzchak, the new line, but Yitzchak had two sons too, he had Yaakov and Esav. So how can you have pleasure from all non-Jews if those of Esav and Edom and all those that come out of them should also be forbidden? On that, it should either be permitted or forbidden. In other words, if you're saying that you're making prohibited from Zer Avram, so that should include the B'nai Esav. So that the Gemara answers, no, the Pasuk says, Bi Yitzchak, V'lo Kol Yitzchak. In other words, in Yitzchak will be called your Zerah. Now, it doesn't say Yitzchak. If it said Yitzchak, we mean all the sons of Yitzchak. In Yitzchak means to say that even in Yitzchak, it's only some and not the other, which is a reference to Yaakov, which again we call B'nai Yisrael. It's only that exact line of Avram, Yitzchak Yaakov, not Yishmael and not Esav, that now called Zera Avram. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. She'eni nena miYisrael. So now this is the halacha that we said in the previous Mishnah. So that directs us into a related halacha. If someone says She'eni nena miYisrael, that I'm not going to have pleasure from a Jewish person, which is essentially the same as saying I'm not going to have from another person, but it's just keeping that uniformity. So the Mishnah says the following halacha. So if you can't have pleasure from another person, so loikeach b'yaiser. So when you're buying, you have to buy at a high price. Because if you don't, you buy at a regular price. So you're going to be having pleasure from them in the purchase that you're making from them. And you said you're not going to have pleasure from them. So you got to pay a very high price where you're not really gaining from him. Only he's getting all the gain, the seller. So that's the way you'll be able to buy. And when you're selling to a Jewish person, so then you have to sell at a low price. Because if you sell at a regular price, you're going to have pleasure by the sale that you're making for them. So you have to sell at a low price where you're not gaining anything. So those are two ways, if you're buying and selling, that you won't have pleasure from them. Now, as the Ram points out, the Gemara is going to explain that the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about what's called the Zvina Mitziasa, a sale item which is not too hard to get rid of, and not so easy to get rid of. It's a regular item where there's a benefit and a gain for a regular sale, both for the purchaser and the seller, whenever it's sold for the price that is. So therefore, you have to either do more or less, depending on what the transaction is, that you shouldn't benefit from that sale. Now, moreover, the Ran says, this that we're saying that if you do less or more than the price, the normal price, then it's going to be permitted, that's only when he made forbidden on himself that he shouldn't have pleasure from a Jewish person. So in such a case, you're not going to be having pleasure from him because I'm not gaining from him. He's getting all the gain. I'm paying way out of my nose, or I'm selling way under. But had the Ran says, had he said that the Jewish person's properties or his items are forbidden on him, then even if he paid, who knows how much, 500% more, it still wouldn't help because you're forbidden from his items, and therefore, no matter how much you're going to pay, you're still having pleasure in that. It's just that the person's saying, I'm not going to have a pleasure from a Yisrael, from the person. Now, if I pay so much, I'm not getting pleasure, he's getting all the pleasure, then it's going to be permitted. Let's say it's the other way around. Let's say he says, Sheyisrael nenenli, that he's prohibiting other Jewish people to have pleasure from him. The Reisha was talking about he's not going to have pleasure from them. Here he's saying the other way around, that I'm making a neder that other Jewish people can't have pleasure from me. So then, the only way out that he has that he could do buying and selling from another Jew is only if loikech bepachas, if when he's buying, he buys way under the sale price, and when he sells, he has to sell them at a very high price because he said that they're not allowed to have a pleasure from him. A regular sale, they're going to have pleasure. So if he way overcharges them or way underbuys, then they're not having pleasure. Now, however, the Mishnah tells us, but nobody's going to listen to him to do that, to lose their money, to have to pay him so much or way undersell to him. Now, actually, the Ram brings a girsa that some have, which is v'i shaymalai, which is with a chirik, in other words, and if they listen to him, fine, but who's going to want to listen to such a person? Now, moreover, the Ram points out that if without this option that the Mishnah is telling us, there would be no other alternative, and that is, even if these are items that were purchased after he made the neder, where, although generally we say that a person cannot make on other people forbidden something that wasn't in the world yet, so on that the Ram says, that's only, let's say, if you're explicitly coming to make something that's not in the world yet forbidden, like let's say you say Peiros Dekel, the fruits of a tree, which the fruits are not there yet, or fruits that I'm going to buy, or let's say he says that my nechasim are forbidden on you, where it's only those items which he has at that point in time. But the Ram points out that our Mishnah is different, because here when he's forbidding his pleasure on any other person, since the Isra Hanah is in him, in the person himself, well, he's here, so it comes out that whenever he sells for those people, which are all the Jewish people in this case, he's going to sell them an object for the regular price, so they're gaining from him. And therefore it's going to be also, even if it's something that he buys at a later point in time. And that's why regarding this way, which is when he's prohibiting everyone from him, he has to again either sell it at a very high price, or when he's buying from them, buy at a really low price, but no one's going to want to do that, but that's the only way he could have sales with them because he can't have them gain from him. Now, however, the Mishnah concludes, let's say he says both, She'eni nenu lahen behein li, then I'm not going to have pleasure from them and they're not going to have pleasure from me. Well, then yehenu la'evdei kechavim. Then the only option is that you can buy and sell from non-Jews because you're done with the Jewish people. You can't do either option, which was to sell or buy higher or lower, because here both ways you're stuck because you can't have pleasure from them and they can't have pleasure from you, which the other options was when it's only one of them, so then you do the exact opposite. But here that's both. The only one you could do are non-Jews. Now, interestingly, the Ram brings from the Ra'ah that what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Obviously, the only one you're left with are non-Jews. So on that, the Ra'ah says that, no, actually, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that you should say that since this was the neder that you made, that I can't have pleasure from them and they can't have pleasure from me, so that's a neder that you can't withstand. Because, okay, so who are you going to buy and sell from? And therefore, it should be like the halacha we learned in the Tezvav Medav, where someone takes a shvua. They're not going to sleep for 3 days, so they hit him right away and they can go to sleep right away because that's something you can't withstand. So actually, you're not obligated to fulfill it. Say, Rosa, we would say that go ahead and have pleasure right away because it's not something that you can withstand, because who are you going to buy and sell from? You can't do even higher or lower prices in this case. And that's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, that no. Since there is an alternative, which is, although he maybe lives in the Jewish community, he could find a non-Jew to do business with. So though it's a very challenging option, but since it's a valid option, it's not considered something that was said in vain. And therefore, it is a neder that you would have to fulfill, albeit a very difficult one. Now, related to the halacha of the Mishnah, which the Gemara is actually going to ask from our Mishnah, so the Gemara brings Amar Shmuel. The Gemara brings the following halacha from Shmuel. Halakiach kli minu umen lavakri. If someone purchases a utensil, a vessel, from a craftsman to inspect it, in other words, he wants to see that if it's good, if he likes it, he's going to pay for it. If not, he's going to give it back. Now, bananas be other. Now, an accident beyond his control happened, and let's say it broke. So the halach is that chayiv. The purchaser, the one that wanted to buy it, who didn't buy it did, but he was checking it out, he's liable for the einus. So the Gemara infers, Amaksava, obviously Shmuel holds, Hanois loikechi. That is, when there's a sale going on, that all the benefit is really the purchaser. Now, actually, as the Ram points out, the Gemara in Baba Basra, the Pechesim and Alfim Perek HaSvina, explains the case we're talking about here is where the item has a set price. Now, because of that, the understanding of the purchaser is that if he wants to buy it, he could, and he could just hold on to it because the price is set already. Hence, on some level, it's already like it's sold. Now, because of that, that's why he's liable for even Einsen. The reason being, as the Gemara is inferring from the Halacha Shmuel, is by a sale, the one who gains from a sale is the purchaser. He gets the item, not the seller, although the seller is getting money. But the main benefit goes to the Lekach. Now, therefore, since what we're calling Kol Hana, all the benefit of this holding of the object by the Lekach, is all his benefit, so then essentially he's like the halacha of a shoyl, where there's the halacha called dal chaimen, for a watchman, there's shemachinim, shemesacher, and there's a nice, then and there's a seicher, and there's also the shoyl, the one that's liable for the most obligations, which is even by accidents and oinis, something beyond one's control, is the shoyl. Now the reason why a borrower is liable for no matter what happens is because it's all gain. There's no gain to the person that's lending it to him. It's only the borrower. He's not paying anything and he's getting all of it. So that's why it's chayav einsin. So here also, Shmuel is holding, obviously, that a lekach, all the gain is his. And since all the gain is his, the meicher is not gaining anything. So since it's all his, that's why he's going to be chayav even in einsin. Now, the Ram points out, although the Gemara here didn't bother to tell us that this halach of Shmuel is only when there's a set price. So on that, the Ram says, that's because our Gemara here is relying on the sugya in Perek HaSvin over there. As he says, just like the Gemara over there doesn't bother to explain that the Halacha of Shmuel is talking about specifically when it's an easily sold object, which as our Gemara later on will explain, that's the reason why the benefit's all for the Lekach, because for the seller, he doesn't gain because he could sell it very easily to someone else. It's because the sugya over there relies on our sugya over here. So too, he says, our sugya over here is relying on the sugya over there, which is again that it's talking about that has a set price. So therefore, it's like already sold, it's ready to be sold. And therefore, the lekach, having the object, meaning the transactional analysis, is that the lekach gets the benefit. And therefore, since it's like a transaction, because again, it has a set price already, so if an oinus happens, it's the liability of the lekach. That's the halacha of Shmuel. Now, that's Gemara asked, but Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, when we said in the Mishnah, the Reisha said, "She'ein an enemy Yisrael." If someone takes a neder that says that I'm not going to have pleasure from any Jewish person, so the halacha that we said was, "So okay, meicher b'pachas." So you have to sell at a lower price, and the reason is because if you sell at a regular price, so the seller is getting a benefit. He's selling an object. That's what people are in business for. So you're not going to have benefit from any Jewish person. So you got to undersell. You undersell. You're not getting anything. On that, the inference is avashav b'shav aloi. Sounds like, but if you sell it for the regular price, then you can't. Now, the difficulty is, but if it's like Shmuel just said, that the one who gains in a sale, a regular sale, is the purchaser, then you should be able to sell it even for its regular price. And the reason being is because you said that by a sale, there's no hanah for the meicher. And therefore, here in this case with the madder, the one who made the neder, is the one that's selling. So what's the problem? Even if he sells it for the regular price, he's not gaining. Why do you have to undersell it? So on that, the Gemara explains and answers. At Masnitin, our Mishnah that's saying that it is forbidden for even the seller to sell it for the same regular price, which sounds like that he is going to have Hana, which is forbidden because he made a net he's not having Hana from another Yisrael, is talking about Bezvina Derame Alape, which literally means to say that an object that he's trying to sell that is on his face. Now what that means to say is that it's a very difficult object to sell. It's a hard to sell object. Now that's why if he would sell it for its going price, that is a benefit of the seller because he usually can't find a buyer. And therefore that's not a benefit of the purchaser. And the reason being is because since no one's jumping to buy such an object, so it's always very easy for a lekach, for the purchaser to find someone that's going to want to sell it to him, and therefore he's not gaining anything from the sale over here. And that's why, since it's a hard to sell object, that's why actually the benefit is for the meicher, if he would sell for the regular price, and not for the lekach. Now, whereas Shmuel is talking about, what's called a zvina harifa. It's a easily sold item. Therefore, who gets the benefit? It's the lekach, because every buyer, every purchaser is jumping to buy such an item. And therefore, the seller doesn't get any hanah from when he sells it. And the reason being is because whenever he wants to, he can find a buyer. That's why Shmuel says that the hanah is lekach, and therefore he's chayv an einsin. But our Mishnah, that's making it sound like that if you sell for the regular price that the meicher is getting the benefit, that's because we're talking about a hard-to-sell item. Hard-to-sell item is the benefit of the meicher and not of the lekach. Now, however, on that, the Gemara continues to ask and says, Im kein, if that's the case, that you explained that our Mishnah is talking about a hard-to-sell item, so then, Eimer Reisha, let's look at that same case that we just described. So you explained the first part of that statement. When it says that he's not going to have benefit from another Jew, so it said that lekech b'yoyser u'moicher b'pachis. So we explained regarding the moicher b'pachis. We said that he has to undersell, because if he sells regular, he'll be gaining. So then, but the question is, we said that if he's buying from another Jew, again, he's not allowed to have enough from another Jew, we said, okay, so he can't buy shav b'shava, because then he's gaining as a purchaser. Rather, he has to overpay. You overpay, you're not gaining from them. And that's the difficulty is, why does he have to overpay? Even if he buys it for the going price, the lekach is not gaining anything. As we explained, it's only going to be the meicher, because they're talking about a very difficult, hard-to-sell item. So when you sell it for as-is price, it's the seller. So why does the lekach over here, meaning the one who made the nedu not to have enough from another Yisrael, have to overpay? Even if he buys for the regular price, he's not gaining, because it's a hard-to-sell item, which he could find many people that's going to sell it to him, and the only one that's gaining is the meicher. And that's question number one. V'ay Deimus Seifa, it says, moreover, the questioner says, let's look at the second case of the Mishnah, where it's the other way around, where Sheyisrael Nenin Li, which is when the person makes a neder that he's forbidding the other Jewish people to have enough from him, where we learned there in the Mishnah, Lekach b'pachis, u'marche b'yesus, so therefore, he has to buy at a very low price, or sell at a very high price, because he's not allowed to let them gain. So when he's selling them for a very high price, so they're not gaining from him. And therefore, that's the only permitted way. On that, the difficulty is, if you just describe that the case conceptualization of our Mishnah is talking about when it's a very hard, difficult item to sell, well then, afila shav b'shav, and even to sell it to them, he shouldn't have to sell to them overpriced. He should be able to even sell to them for as it is, because the only one that's going to be gaining then is the meicher, and not the lekach. The Jewish people that are forbidden to have pleasure from him are not going to be gaining. Forget about it. You don't even need to sell it at a high price. Even selling for the regular price, we said the only one that's going to be gaining is the meicher and not the lekach. So why do you have to say over there that you're meicher b'yayster, you could even be meicher shav b'shava? So that the Gemara answers, no, that's seifa. You're right, we said that the Reish is talking about a hard-to-sell item. But the seifa, which is when he's saying they can't have enough from him, what that was talking about, bizvina harifa. That's talking about that it's an easily sold item. In other words, the Reish is talking about the halacha of zvina derami alape, a hard to sell item. The Sefer is talking about the case when it's zvina, the halacha of a zvina harifa, when it's an easily sold item. That's why there would be an iser hana for the lekach, for the others, if he sold it as is. Because an easily sold item, which is like the halacha of Shmuel, the hanah goes to the lekach. The benefit is for the purchaser because it's easily sold. The seller's not getting anything. That's why we have to say there that you have to be meicher b'yeis, you have to sell it high. Because if you sell it regular, then the lekach, those other Jews who are forbidden based on a neder, would be getting pleasure. Now, however, the Ran does point out that now the Gemara has only answered the seifa, the question from the seifa, which we're saying, oh, that's a different case. It's not zvina derami alape, it's a zvina harifa. But it still didn't answer, obviously, the question from the Reisha, why would he have to be lekech b'yayser? Why would he have to be paying more? As we said, that if it's something that rami alape, so even if you buy chava b'shava, it's not something that lekech is gaining, it's the meicher that would be gaining. So, but however, at least for the sake of the Gemara to answer, that it's talking about a different case, zvin the harif. On that, the Gemara still asks, even on just what we're answering for the sefer, the Gemara says, Ihachi, if the sefer is talking about an easily sold item, well then, lekiach bepachis, we said that when, again, he's saying that the other Jews can't have hanah from him. So he said that when he's buying from them, he has to buy way under the price. Because if he buys regular, they're going to have a no from him. And that the problem is, but afilah shav b'shava, it's not true. When he's buying from them, it should even be able to be for the going price. Because as we quoted from Shmuel, you're telling me the case of the sefer is from a zvina harifa, an easily sold item. As Shmuel said, the only one that gains from an easily sold item is the lekech, is the purchaser, not the seller. And that's actually why Shmuel says that the lekech is chayav einzin, because all the benefit is only for the purchaser, not for the seller. I don't gain, what do you mean, this item, I could sell to anybody. You're the only one that's gaining. And if that's the case, so if you tell me the sefer is zvina harifa, so then why, when he's buying from other people, does he have to sell under the price, buy under the price, even if he buys regular, who's going to be gaining? Not them, only him. Because by zvina harifa, it's the buyer for the regular price that gains. And since he's the only one that's gaining, and not them, and therefore there's not going to be a violation of the neder, because only that they shouldn't have a na, not him. So why does he have to be lekech b'pachos? So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. As we can tell, Tamid Beis, masnitin b'zvina mitzah. Our mission is talking about specifically a middle type of a sale item. In other words, we're talking about something that's not so easily sold and not something that's difficult to be sold. It's a regular sale item where that type of an item has hanah for the seller and for the purchaser. Now we understand the halacha, the reisha, and the seifa. And that's why, for example, in the case of the reisha, when he said that he's not allowed to have hanah from any other Jewish person. So he said that he has to buy at a high price and sell at a low price so that he doesn't gain. Because if he was selling or buying at a regular price, both would be having anah, and he can't have anah. Now, regards the case of the Sefer, when he says that no Jewish person can have anah from him, so he has to buy low and high sell so that they don't gain from him. Because as we said, by a Zvina Mitzah, by a regular sale item, if it would be sold Shava B'Shava, both would be gaining. And that's why by both halachas, him from them and them from him, it has to be that way, either higher or lower. Now, however, the Shmuel, that said that it's only the lekech that has anah, and that's why he's chayv and einzin, and not the meicher, he's talking about bezvin lecharifa. He's talking about an easily sold item. The easily sold item, the anah does not go to the meicher, it only goes to the lekech. Now, the Ram points out that it seems to him that the Gemara definitely, when it tried explaining the questions of the Mishnah from the halacha of Shmuel, that saying that, oh, our Mishnah is talking about zvin deram el ape, a difficult to sell item, or that it said that a Mishnah is talking about a zvin harifa, but in the sefer, that's an easily sold item. Actually, the Gemara knew that the Mishnah would not be explainable like that, as we concluded, and actually it's only by a zvin mitzah, a middle, regular type of item. It's just that the Gemara wanted to go through the discussion so that it could reveal to us the dinim in all these different cases and all these different categories. And they wanted to tell us as follows, that a zvina that's rami alapi, a difficult to sell item, that's always the benefit of the seller and not the purchaser. If it's a zvina harifa, if it's an easily sold item, that's always going to be the benefit of this of the buyer and not of the seller. And if it's a zvina mitzia, if it's a regular sale item, so then that's the benefit of both of them. Now, however, as our Gemara qualified, that's only if it's sold, in that which is the case of our Mishnah, shav b'shava. It's sold for the regular price, both the seller is gaining and the buyer is gaining. But when it's sold for a higher price, then even if it's a zvin harifa, easily sold item, the benefit goes to the seller and not to the purchaser. And however, when it's sold for a lower price, then even if it's a difficult to sell item, then it's going to be the benefit of the buyer, obviously, because he's buying low, even though it's a hard item for the seller to get rid of, and not the seller. And those are the different halachic klalim, general rules that come out of the halacha of our discussion, and that's why the Gemara went through it so that we could explain all those different categories. Now, the halacha that we started the Gemara with, which was the halacha of Shmuel, the Gemara says, Tanik HaVasei de Shmuel. We have a braisa that says, like Shmuel, again, that in certain types of sales, that it's the lekech that's going to get all the benefit. And that's why it's chayav einzin, which again, as the Gemara explained, is talking about zvina harifa, an easily sold item. The braisa says, it's a lekech kelim and atagar. Someone buys vessels from a merchant, l'shagrin l'beis chamav, to send to his father-in-law. Now, v'amar lo, so he tells the seller, says, im akabun oisam imeni, I'm sending a gift to my in-laws. If they take it and they accept it from me, sa'ani naisin l'chodimim, I'll pay you. Vim lav, they don't want it, so I'm going to return the item to you. But ani naisin l'chodimim, I'm going to pay you according to the benefit that I gained what did he gain if they're not taking it? This, that they're going to thank me when they see that, oh, look, what a nice son-in-law there. You're sending gifts to your in-laws. For that gain, I'll give you that amount of money, what it's worth it for me, that gain. But obviously, the item I'm going to return to you. Now, the Braisa says, Nensu b'halicha chayim. If something beyond the person's control happened and the item is shattered or broke on the journey up to the in-laws, so then this purchaser, this son-in-law, is going to be liable. And the reason being is because since he's the purchaser, and that is, as we explained in the previous Gemara, actually, even when it's in the process of becoming the purchaser, which is what he wants to because he wants the in-laws to take it, so all the gain, as Shmuel said, and this is what supports Shmuel, is that he's like a shoyl, and all the hanah is his, and therefore he's going to be chayiv in einsin. Now the Braisa continues, however, b'chazara potter. But if an einis happened on the way back, meaning that the in-laws didn't want it, they said, thank you very much, but it doesn't just work well with us, so then he's actually going to be exempt from the einsin. The reason being is, neshu k'neisi sachar. Because now on the way back, he's not like the fourth shomer of a shoyl, of a borrower, which all the hanah is his, which that's what a borrower has, it's all gain, but rather he's like a shomer sachar, someone that's watching for pay, which is that really he's doing a favor to the other person watching his item, but he's getting paid. So there, such a person is exempt from einsin, but is obligated and liable in geneva veda if it gets stolen or if it gets lost, like a shomer sachar. Now, the Ran explains the reason for this is because as the Gemara there concludes in Masechtas Bava Metzia and Perek Umnin, that anyone that borrows an item from someone, now let's say he only needed it for 10 days, but he can't return it until, let's say, 15 days. So but those 5 days, he has the halacha like a shomer sachar. Why is that? Essentially, he's like a shomer chinam. He's watching it for free. But the other guy, I want to return it to you. I only wanted a bar for 10 days. You're just not around to return it. The reason being is because since he had pleasure from that person, which was that free thing that he lent him, so he will also now be mahana that person and say that, look, I'll make myself liable like a shomer sachar, which I'll be chayav in geneva veda. And that's what the as obvious from this braisa that we see that since on the way up to his in-laws he was like a shayel, so that's what the braisa is saying, that on the way back, although he's not like a shayel anymore because he's not going to buy it anymore, and therefore he's not like a lekech, and therefore he's not like a shayel, so therefore you would think that it'd be like a shemachin, and that's what the chiddush of the braisa is, that okay, he's like at least, but he's still like a nice sacher, it's like a shemachin where it's like he's watching for pay, which there is some gain, because the gain is, since you had lent it for me the days before, I was like a lekech, I was like a shoyl before, so now I'm going to make myself still liable to a higher level than the shomer chinam, like a shomer sachar. But again, the primary point in the contrast is, but he's going to be exempt from einsin. Now the Gemara brings a related story that related to this braisa. Ahu safsira, the shakal chamer lizvune. There was this middleman that took a donkey to sell in the marketplace. Now, the way of these sarsurim were that they would go to the owner of the animals and they would buy it for a set price. But the condition with the owner was, if he doesn't find the buyer in the market, he's just going to give it right back and get his money back. As it's obvious from that sugi there in Perek Umnin, where the same incident is brought in a different version. Now, what happened was, it's v'lo isvin. He wasn't able to sell it. So, b'hadi d'hadu isnis chamra. Now, on his way back from the marketplace, something happened beyond his control and caused damage to the donkey. So Chayver Rav Nachman Shlumi, Rav Nachman made the Safsir liable to pay. So Esver Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman from this price that we just quoted, and says, Nensu b'halicha chayv. If on the way to possibly purchasing this item, which is when he wanted his in-laws to accept it, so then he's chayv in einsin. But b'chazara patru, on the way back, if you couldn't buy it, you couldn't find the seller, the in-laws refused it, so then you don't want it anymore, you want to return it, you're exempt from einsin, because it's not a kol hanoh shelo, you're not buying it anymore. So here also where the safsir is not buying it anymore, because he's not going to be able to find the seller, he's returning it to the owner, so why are you being mechayiv him in einsin? So Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rava, chazar def safsira, the return trip of this middleman, hoy lochehi. In other words, it has the same halacha like the son-in-law when he's sending the gift to his in-laws. Why? The ilo mashkach lizvuni, because if this safsiru would find someone to purchase it even on his trip back, I feel above a devesa, even by if he's by his right before his door coming home, mile mazvinle, wouldn't he sell it to the person? And therefore, it's even on the return trip, it's still kol hanoh shelo, because he's still like a lekech, he's still possibly purchasing it, and that's why he has it, because although he's dejected on his way back, he's still looking out. He still might sell it. And therefore, it's still like the halacha trip of the son-in-law, and that's why he's chayav nines. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the Mishnais we started the daf with, which is from all these different Mishnais. When you say a specific term, who does it really refer to? So, koinim sha'ani nene le'areilim. If someone says, I'm forbidden, based on a neder, to have pleasure from those who are uncircumcised, so actually, mutab areil Yisrael, he is permitted, he's not forbidden from the uncircumcised Jewish men, and actually, he's actually forbidden to have pleasure from circumcised non-Jews. And let's say the other way around. Let's say Shani Nene Lamoilim. It says, I'm not going to have pleasure from those who are circumcised. So Asa Bareli Yisrael, he's actually forbidden to have pleasure from the uncircumcised Jewish men. But Umutza Bamele Abdikachavim, he's permitted by the circumcised non-Jews. What's the reason for this? She'ena Orla Karuya El Lashem Abdikachavim. Because the term of uncircumcised one is always a reference to non-Jews. And it refers to all of them, even if they're circumcised, they're called areilim, they're called uncircumcised. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, Kichal ha-goyim areilim, because all non-Jews are uncircumcised, meaning even those that are circumcised. Whereas, v'chol beis Yisrael areilu leiv, however, the Jewish people are uncircumcised in their heart, but in their body, they're always called circumcised, even if they don't even actually have a milo. Moreover, v'im, it says, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, v'hoya ha-plishti ha-oral hazeh. This Philistine, a reference to Goliath, who is an uncircumcised person. Now, why the Mishnah is bringing another pasuk is because had we only brought the first pasuk, we could have rejected the proof, and we could have said that when it says in the pasuk kol goyim areilim, that all the non-Jews are uncircumcised, it actually means uncircumcised of the heart. I mean, like a stuffed up, impure heart. And actually, because that's what the end of the pasuk says too, that all the Jewish people are also areilim leiv, just like the goyim. That's why the Mishnah brings another pasuk when it says Va'im v'ha'yah plishta aral hazeh, which was David calling Goliath an aral, even though he didn't know if he was born circumcised. Maybe he was born circumcised, and therefore, since maybe he was circumcised and still he's calling him aral, so we see that non-Jews are the ones that are always called uncircumcised. But however, the Mishnah brings another pasuk, and the reason being is because maybe you're going to say that it's not so common for a person to be born circumcised. And non-Jews are not, they don't circumcise themselves. And therefore, maybe that's why David HaMelech called him Ha'orl Hazeh, because he was actually physically uncircumcised. But maybe it's not true that the non-Jews are always called Areilim. So that's why the Mishnah brings V'aymer, a third pasuk, pasuk in Shmuel Beis, that says, Pen tismachnam b'nais Palestim, that maybe you, the daughters of the Philistines, are going to rejoice. Pen talaisnam b'nais Areilim, maybe you, the daughters of those who are uncircumcised, reference to these Palestinians, to the non-Jews, then maybe you're going to be happy. Now, the proof of this third pasuk is that it's not possible for a large nation like the Palestinians that there shouldn't be at least some of the men that are born circumcised, and still the pasuk calls all of them b'nais ha'areilim, the daughters of the uncircumcised, and that's obviously the proof that we see because they're always called areilim. So therefore, if you're neider from areilim, you're forbidden the non-Jews, even those that are circumcised, and permitted in Jews, even those that are not circumcised. Now, continuing on this idea of Arla and Mila, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer says, Mu'usa hi ha'arla. The being uncircumcised is so despised, sh'niskanu barisham, that's the term that's used to denigrate wicked people. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk we just quoted, ki kol ha'goyim areilim, because all the non-Jews are uncircumcised. So we see that's the denigration point that we're using for the wicked. Rabbi Shmuel, he says, G'dayla mila, how great is circumcision, shenichrasu alau shalish esrei brises, that there was a covenant of 13 brises that were made for the bris of mila. And that's as the Ram points out, meaning because it says the word bris 13 times in the parasha of mila, which is said by Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, G'dayla mila, how great is circumcision, that it even overrides the stringent halachas of Shabbos. As it says in the pasuk of Yom Hashem in the Yimel, on the eighth day, you circumcise, by Yom comes to say that every day, even the day of Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Karchaim, he says, G'day l'min ha-greatest circumcision, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given a reprieve from being negligent for even just a moment of not circumcising his son, that the Malach wanted to kill him already. Because that's how important and severe is the mitzvah of Milah. In the Chemia, he says, G'day l'milah, greatest circumcision, she'daiches anagarm, it overrides the halacha of a nega, whereas the Pasuk says, Yimel besar alasa, he circumcises the flesh of his foreskin, which says that even if there's over there a baharis, a nega, you still cut that off, because milah overrides the halacha of nega, that you're not allowed to cut off a nega. Rebbe, he says, G'day l'milah, greatest circumcision, should call a mitzvah sha'as Avram Avinu, because all the mitzvahs that Avram Avinu fulfilled where he was Mekayim called Terakuli, even though it wasn't given yet, Linikra Shalom Achamol, he wasn't called complete until he circumcised. And that is because, as we see, that when Hashem was commanding him on the circumcision, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that parasha, Hishalach Lafon HaBeyutamim, go in front of me and then you'll be complete. So we see that the only way he was complete was through the mitzvah of Milah. Another insight is G'day l'milah, greatest circumcision, she'el molei he, because if not the circumcision, lo yibara HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaSeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have made his world. Shnem, like it says the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Koyam HaShem, so HaShem says, im loy berisa yom v'layla, if not for my covenant, the bris of Milah, day and night, chukah shemayim v'oretz le'samti, the statutes of heaven and earth, I wouldn't have placed. He wouldn't have made the world. Now that those who have a girsa, as it's brought into Ein Yaakov, which is obviously the girsa of the Ran, that a different drasha, that Rebbe Yomer, G'day l'milah, greatest circumcision, sheishkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs, because it equals to all the commandments. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Shemayis, chavdal ches, hinei dam ha-bris, behold the blood of the covenant, ashekaras, that it says that Hashem it makes with you al kol ha-dvarim, on all these things, meaning in regards to the older Torah. So the Ran explains, although actually the blood of the bris over here is actually not the blood of circumcision, rather, it's the blood of the carbon, of the sacrifices. But still, he says, since in the entire Torah we write bris, and milah is also called bris, and here we're referencing HaKol HaDvarim, so therefore we see that the mitzvah of milah is shakal, it's equivalent to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, continuing on the theme that we just left off in the Mishnah, the Gemara brings Tanya Lutna Braisa. Shumen Karcha Aimer, he says, as we said in the Mishnah, G'day l'milah, ha greatest circumcision, shkaz chuyes sha'asim ha'yisharbein, because all the merits that Moshe Rabbeinu did, le'amdu lo kishnas rasham min ha'milah, they didn't stand for him to protect him when he was negligent in the circumcision of his infant son Eliezer. Shnei, like it says the pasuk in Shemayis, when he was on his way with his wife and kids to Egypt, as Hashem had told him to go redeem the Jewish people, it says vayifkishei Hashem vayivakshem Yisrael, he encountered Hashem and Hashem wanted to kill him, and that's because he didn't circumcise his son. Now, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Chas v'sholom sh'Moshe Rabbeinu nisrashal min milah. God forsake that Moshe Rabbeinu was negligent in the mitzvah of circumcision. Elakach Amar, rather, this is what he said. He says, Amal v'eitzeh, if I'm going to circumcise my son now, who is its eighth day in time for the circumcision, and then I'm going to go to Egypt, sakonahi. It's a danger if I'm going to travel with him 3 days, because the first 3 days after circumcision, the one that had the circumcision is in a lot of pain. So it's dangerous to travel during those days. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Bereishis, says vehi b'yem ashlishi b'yisim koyev b'megayim, that it was on the third day when the people of Shechem were in pain. Then Shimon v'Levi, they came and they killed out all the people of Shechem because of what they did to their sister Dina. Now the Ram points out, this is not to say that because the third day is in more pain than the first day. Rather, as the Gemara is illustrating, it's all the 3 days that the child's in pain. The only reason why Shimon Levi waited to the third day was because then they're going to be weaker. Because they're in pain already 3 days. This is a built-up pain that's continuing for 3 days. As he says, is obvious from the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Avkov Lama Dal, Lama Beis. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't do the circumcision and then go, because for the first 3 days, it's dangerous. The child's in a lot of pain. And Amal V'esha Shleisha Yami says, if I'm going to do the circumcision and then wait 3 days, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amli Leich Shav Mitzrayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I have to go now and return to Egypt. So I can't do the circumcision and go, because that's dangerous. And neither can I wait, because Hashem says I have to go right now. So therefore, he didn't do the circumcision, because he had to go. So, So then why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for the lack of circumcision of his son Eliezer? Rather, as we continue on top of Lamed Beis and Alf, Rabbi says, because when he finally came to the inn where he was staying, first thing that he took care of was his lodgings. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Shemais. Says in Perek Dal Pasach of Dal, it says Vayiva Derech Bamalayin, that it was on the trip, on the road, by the inn. That's when the pasuk says Vayifkeshev Hashem Vayivakash Hamisay, because what are you doing being busy with the Malon? first thing you come to a place, you're right next to Egypt where it's not going to be dangerous anymore to travel, you do the circumcision first, and then you go ahead and take care of your lodgings. For that negligence, it wasn't for the not for the Hisrashlis and the Mele, he was going to do it. It's just that because the first thing he took care of should not have been this the Malon, it should have been the Bris Mila. Now, Rabbi Shimon Leilam, he says, Loi l'moshe beinu b'kishtot l'harg. Actually, the Satan, the angel that came to harm, actually didn't want to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Eloi Satinik, actually wanted to kill the child that is Eliezer. Something like it says there in that parasha, it says, Ki chasan damim atali, which is that the pasuk there says in pasuk chafei, the following pasuk, it says, V'tikach tzipar tzar, that tzipar took a sharp rock. V'tichor says, Arles banan, and she cut off the foreskin of her son. And v'tagal araglov, and it reached his foot. V'tayim, and then tzipar said, Ki chasan dam matali, because you're a bridegroom of blood that you are to me, meaning, in other words, it was because of the bris mila that you have the dam mila that the malach wanted to kill. So on that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Tzei re'ei mikar chasan. Go out and see who's the chasan, who's the one that was chasan dam matali. Who was it that the malach wanted to kill? It was the chasan. Who's called the chasan? Hava'im is that it's a reference to the child. Because as the Ran says, he becomes a chasan through the bris, and that's the marriage that he gets into, is because of the circumcision that he gets, that he's called on some level like a chasan, he enters into the covenant. So it was that who the Malach wanted to kill, it was chasan dam matali, and if it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, it was actually Eliezer the Malach was trying to kill because of the lack of the circumcision.